Aaron Khan, Rosh Hashiva at Reitz, at the Rav of Knesset Base of Igdar in Brooklyn, New York. Rav Khan will speak on the topic of Tefillah, Hallel, and Pesuvah Nisa, an analysis of Tehillim, chapters 22 and 30. Rav Khan.
Okay. Very good. As everyone knows, at the conclusion of davening in Shachris, we have what's called a Shir Shel Yom. The Shir Shel Yom concept and a Shir Shehayu Alvim Oymim Beveis HaMikdosh requires an entire Shir unto itself. But we also know that when there are special days, there is a unique Shir Shel Yom for that day. Borchi Navshi for Rosh Chodesh. And we are speaking specifically about the Shir Shel Yom for the 2 days that were established by the Chachomim for Pirsumei Nisa, namely Chanukah and Purim. The reason I chose this is because we are just coming off of Chanukah. And the question is, what was the Shir Shel Yom that was chosen to represent it? But before we ask that question, we ask another question, which is, where do all these Shir Shel Yom kapitlach come from? And the answer, of course, is from Tehillim. The Rav pointed out a number of times that when we have the psukim in Malchus, Achronis, and Shofreis, the Seder does not follow the Seder of Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim, but rather Torah, Ksuvim, Nevi'im. And he said that the Ksuvim are not Stam Ksuvim, they are Dafka Tehillim. And the reason that David HaMelech comes first is because, not because chronologically he happens to be before the Nevi'im of Yeshayahu, Yirmiyahu, and Yechezkel, and so on, but rather because he is the Ne'im Zmiros Yisrael. David HaMelech is the one who is the ultimate source for davening to Hashem. The texts of davening to Hashem, when Anshei Knesset HaGdola wanted to establish the Tfilos and the Nusach HaTfilos, so a great deal of it, and a great deal of our Siddur subsequently, including the Psukei de Zimra and so on, this is all B'shirei David Avdecha Na'alecha U'Neshabeichacha. So we have the Shir Shel Yom that also comes from Tehillim. Now, one of the most remarkable things, and maybe one of the most tragic things at the same time, is that we have this incredible capacity to mouth the words without having much of the feeling. And what I mean to say is that when you look at Tehillim, in its own context, without thinking that you're davening, you'll probably come away with a much better appreciation. The irony of ironies. Dafka, when we're davening, we somehow fall into the rote, which becomes a rut. You know, it becomes like a groove that no matter how you try, you sort of end up like when you're riding on a bicycle and there's a rut in the road, you kind of, the bicycle wheel goes into that rut and just follows it. And that's why it's much harder to concentrate and it's much harder for us. I mean, we could be dreaming about all kinds of things. So when you start learning the Tehillim, you take out a Tehillim, a Sefer, from Tanakh, and you learn Tehillim with the Radak, for example. So for a long time, the Radak was not printed together with the Tehillim, but the recent editions have it. It's incredible. And when you start looking at the Tehillim for the first time in that way, it opens up vistas that are completely close to us, maybe for decades, even though we've been saying these same kapitlach over and over again. And the translations don't do them justice simply by virtue of the fact it could be the best translation in the world. The Tain is not against the translation, specifically this one or that one. It's just the whole idea of translation. In the specifics of the kapitlach that were chosen way back, for Chanukah and Purim, it's much easier to understand the one for Purim, Lamnatzeach al Ayelas HaShachar, than the one for Chanukah. So I would like Bedavka to start with the one for Chanukah. The one for Chanukah is Mizmor Shir Chanukas Habayis LeDavid. This is Eino Omer Elo Darsheni, for the simple reason that David did not participate in the Chanukah Sabayis of the Beis HaMikdash. And so what does it mean, Bichlal, Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis LeDavid? That's not the only question. The second question, which is equally important and vexing, is that there isn't anything in this Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis LeDavid that has anything to do with Chanukah Sabayis of the Beis HaMikdash. So that even if you will say, as some of the Rishonim do, we'll see momentarily, that this is an anticipation of the Chanukah Sabayis, and it was meant L'Asid Lavo, we would still wonder, all right, so imagine that David HaMelech is there together with his son Shlomo. What is there in this Chanukah Sabayis L'David Mizmar that speaks about the Beis HaMikdash or Chanukah Sabayis? But before I say that, I just want to add one more point to what I was saying before. When you look at Tehillim consistently, and you look at it with open eyes, with eyes that want to understand, you realize that David HaMelech's connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you realize many things, but the first thing that you realize is that David HaMelech's connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam is very immediate and very visceral. In other words, David HaMelech, you know, when he prepares L'Tfila L'Doron L'Mochama, as it were, in his life, he has a lot of enemies, number one. You see that all over Tehillim, a lot of enemies. And he's always worried about his enemies, and he's always worried about how he's going to overcome his enemies. But the most important thing about Tehillim, I mean, of course, he was a warrior, and he kills Goliath, and he fights the Plishtim, and so on and so forth. But at the same time, you see in the Tehillim this incredible interdependence, this kind of connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which we can only dream about. You know, the Dveikus Bashem that comes out of Tehillim is unbelievable. There's another thing that you see about Tehillim, and that is that we've always gone back to the Tehillim. So good, he's Ne'im Zemiros Yisrael, but the question is, isn't something that you relate to in your own life boundaried and given that Greenwich, that Gvul, that it belongs to a certain time and place, and because of that, it can't really speak to you? And somehow Tehillim, it's not just us, the whole world has adopted Tehillim. The whole Christian world, Psalms. I remember there was a certain friend that I had that was a Baal Tshuva, and actually his mother became a Baal Tshuva. So he was born, he already went to yeshivas, but his mother was a Baal Tshuva. So she grew up in the Washington, D.C., and she went to public school, and she was always jealous of her Christian friends that they had these beautiful expressions and these beautiful words. And there was one expression that captured her imagination. Thou settest a table before me. And then one day, her chosen gave her a Tanakh, and it has the Tehillim in English as well as in Lashon Kodesh. And she's looking at this psalm, and she says, "Thou settest thy table before me. What's it doing in this, you know, in this Torah?" You know? And he explains to her, "What are you talking about? This is the Tehillim." She says, "I mean, it's ours, right? Tarach lefanei shulchan neged tzorarai. But what's neged tzorarai? There's enemies all over the place. There's this incredible connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the day-to-day of David HaMelech, which includes a tremendous amount of catastrophe and consequence. He's living crises with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But how is it possible that that should relate to us so many thousands of years later? We're talking about a huge amount of time in a different world, in a different place. So I had this idea that's my own, I have to admit it. The Pasuk says, Yomim al Yimei Melech Tosef. People know it now because it's a song they sing with Tzadikim and Talmidei Chachamim come into the Chasana. They start singing Yomim al Yimei Melech Tosef. Yomim al Yimei Melech Tosef Shnosav Kmo Dor Vodor. You should add days to the king because his years are like generations. Chazal tell us in the Medrash that Yomim al Yimei Melech Tosef refers to the gift that Adam HaRishon gave to David HaMelech of 70 years. So he's supposed to be Caliph Shanim, and he lived only 930. And those 70 years went to David HaMelech. So I said that if that's true, that Yomim Al Yimei Melech Tosif, that the days of David HaMelech are really from Adam HaRishon, who is the genetic material for the entire world forever, then it's possible that David HaMelech can create something that is relevant to every dor. Shnosav, his years, those 70 years, is kmo dor v'dor. So that was my my drash on that pasuk. I wrote that up when I was about, I don't know, there was one point when I wrote a sefer on Tehillim. I only got up to half of Tehillim, and then whatever happened in my life, I was about 15 years old. So I don't know what happens in your life at 15, but whatever happened, I stopped. Maybe I started learning something else. But in any case, so I still have those notes. You know, sometimes you think that you steiged and you grew and you really became something, and then you go back to what you wrote at 15 and you say, I didn't grow at all. No, let's get it done. Anyhow, let's take a look at Mizmor Shir Chanukas Habayis with those eyes. So first of all, the question is, what is Chanukas Habayis? Now, of course, the fact that you say it on Chanukah is Chanukas Habayis, okay, but that's not enough, not nearly enough. And I'm going to try to show you that both here and B'nagat Purim, what's really happening here is defining some of the most essential features of Chanukah and Purim, which ultimately is the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ultimately. But let's see. So what is this Chanukas Habayis that we're talking about? So the Radak asks this question, and he says, Chibroi David, sheyomruhu b'chanukas beis hamikdosh. That's his answer. Sheyomruhu b'chanukas beis hamikdosh. And then he answers the second question. Af al pi she'ein b'zeh hamizmor zecher habayis. Hizkir bo slichas pishov. The relationship to the bayis is as follows. Shlomo HaMelech is the issue of that moment with Bathsheba. And the enemies of David are arguing that there's no way that this perfect institution called the Beis HaMikdash could be built by such an imperfect person as Shlomo, who is the issue, who is derived from that moment of chet, quote-unquote, with Bathsheba. And that's what he says. Hizkir bo slichas pshov. Not only did he build it, but he built it with tremendous success. He kiru kol Yisrael ki me Hashem hu malchus Shlomo, v'hu nolad lo meoso isha yodu be'emes ki nimchal leDavid oso avon legamri. V'zehu ledor sheyizocher bo slichas chatov shehu refua lenafsho ki b'zehu inyan noda haslicha lechol adam. So he says, when he says, Hashem Elokoi, Shivati Elecho Vatir Pa'eni, you healed me. What does it mean that you healed me? I cried out to you and you healed me. It means it's a refuah, a lasting refuah that comes out at what time? When Shlomo HaMelech actually built the Beis HaMikdash, David HaMelech is already gone. But Huvra Hadava Lemafreya, that his chait was completely forgiven. So it turns out that Mizmor Shir Chanukas Habayis LeDavid is really speaking about the chait with Bathsheba, and the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave him to such an extent that he's able to sing songs of praises to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the first pshat, the pshat of the Radak. Comes along the Evan Ezra, and the Evan Ezra here is absolutely fascinating. Yesh Omrim, Shetziva David, Sheyinagnu HaMeshorim Ze HaMizmor B'Chanukas Bayis HaRishon. That's the same pshat as the Radak. That this is Lasid Lavo, but not the far Lasid Lavo, but simply the time of Bayis Rishon by Shlomo HaMelech, by his son. Rak atolo sivna habayis, kim bincha yetz mechalasecho hu yivna habayis lishmi, dom larov shafachta, whatever it is, not David, but what? Shlomo. So he's preparing in advance. That's pshat number one. The same as the Radak. V'yesh omrim, b'chanduk ha-sabayis ha-sheni o ha-shlishi. That this is lo asid lovo, but the distant asid lovo. Ki dima yimei ha-golus li yimei ha-choli, kasher afarish. So he says, because golus is a sickness. Boy, golus is a sickness. But golus is a sickness, and that's the vatir po'eni. It's going to come out of that golus. There's a refuah. Coming back to Eretz Yisrael, rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash, this is a refuah for the makkah of golus, for the sickness of golus. Akorav Eli, however, he says, he doesn't agree with either of them. He likes his own pshat best. What is his own pshat? Pil a ployim, as they say. I can't say it the same way Rabbi Goldwicht says it, but pil a ployim. So he says, Akorav Eli, ki zeh mizmor chibroi b'chanukas beisoi beis arozim. In other words, all the pshatim that we have so far is la'asid lavo. He says, Akorav Eli, I believe that he was saying it in a very contemporary way. He was talking about his own palace. Mizmor shir chanukas habayis. We speak about the phrase when you build a house and you want to make a chanukas habayis. So he says he made a chanukas habayis and he sang this song. And what's his raya? Ki ha'kosuv lo hiskir beis Hashem. Right? The kamohu, and he brings another example. Iver upiseach lo yovo labayis kasher pirashti b'mekomo. But also hazman chola David, at the time that he built his house, he got sick. He got physically ill. Vayechimi cholyo, and he was healed. And this is the mizmor shir chanukas habayis. Vayomer Rabbi Moshe, David his abel another pshat. Kasher amalo noson kihu lo yivna habayis l'Hashem. That David was in great mourning when he discovered through Nosan Anovi that he's not going to be able to fulfill his dream. And he wants to build a house, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, not you. The kasher amalo kishlomo b'no yivna habayis, oz his azer simcha tachas evlo. What the pasuk, of course, is he referring to? When he uses the phrase his azer azor with an aleph, a belt, etzachalum gegartled with simcha instead of his sakva efer, pitachto saki vata azreini simcha, towards the end of mizmor shir chanukas habayis, as his azer simcha tachas evlo ki b'no kamohu, right? V'lo yecharfeu ha'oyev v'om ki yigon hanefesh nimshal l'choli, right? Etc. etc. Ruachish yichalkel machaleu. So in other words, he's saying that it could be that he was physically ill. Rabbi Moshe says that he was spiritually ill when he discovered that he's not going to build the house. He didn't fulfill his dream. And this was an incredible moment of crisis for him, that he's not allowed to do this wonderful thing for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, finally building the Beis HaMikdash. He buys the lot from Arav Nayavusi. He collects all the money. He speaks himself about all the tremendous Mesiris Nefesh that he put into it, and the tremendous Islavus of Klal Yisrael to participate, and just like by the Mishkan, they gave tremendous amount of money to support the construction, and nevertheless he's not allowed to construct it. He got very emotionally and spiritually ill. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he informed him, no, but you won't be able to do it, but Bincha Yotz Mechal Atzecha, he was healed, and that is Vatir Po'eni, and that's Pitach Tosaki Vatazeni Simcha, and that's what, according to Rabbi Moshe, probably Moshe ben Ezra or Moshe Hadarshan, I don't know. This Rabbi Moshe, whoever he is saying that's the pshat of mizmor shir chanukas. How many pshatim do we have? It's either referring to his own palace, and it's at that moment, or it's referring to the moment when he discovers that Shlomo HaMelech is going to build it, and he feels that he's relieved that from his suffering, or it's talking about La'asid lavo, by Sheni, by Shlishi, or it's talking about, which is the preponderance of Meparshim, that is going to be sung, going to be recited at the actual Chanukah's bayis of Shlomo HaMelech. So that's very, very good. And they're all trying to explain, so what is it in this content that has to do with Chanukah's bayis? And more or less they say essentially the same thing. There was a crisis, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu took him out of that crisis. There was a sickness, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu healed him from this sickness. But I would like to point something out to you. In the entire capital there's one pasuk that has very much in common with the kapitel of Keli Keli Lama Azavtani, which we recite on Purim, and Lama Tzeach Ala Yelus Hashachar, and that is pasuk Ches. Hashem Birtzoncha Hemadto LaHariri Oz Histarta Panecha HaYisi Nivhol Eilecha Hashem Ekra Vel Hashem Eschanon. And I think that this Tzad HaShoveh is the critical nekuda of Chanukah and Purim, and I'd like to give a little background. And I've said this many, many times in different contexts, so if you've heard it from me before in some way, please suffer the repetition. In the Al HaNisim, we say Bimei Mordechai VeEsther, and we say Bimei Matisyahu Ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol. It could be simply that it's a marker of when this occurred. We say Bayomim Ahim Bezman Hazeh. So what is this Bayomim Ahim? So it's Bimei Mordechai VeEsther, Bimei Matisyahu. And Ein Mikra Yotzei Midei Pshuto. I'm not arguing it, but I think there's much more. I think that what the Mechaber of this Nusach, go way back, who knows who did it and when, but the Mechaber of this Nusach was saying that, Enoch Hanami, I have an obligation to declare our gratitude to Hashem, not for just for Al Nisecha Shebechol Yom Imanu, but also for the unique Nisim of Bayomim Ahim Bezman Hazeh, of Chanukah and Purim. But Hagam, that it is a gratitude for Hashem, and we should only be speaking about what Hashem wrought, we have to understand that what happened, we have to understand that what happened had the agency of tremendous Mesiras Nefesh. And we would be remiss if we didn't mention it. Which I think in the Lashon of the Rambam, of course Megillah, the Rambam doesn't have to say anything because we have Megillah Esther. But the Rambam describes the Inyan of Chanukah. He uses a language, he expresses himself in a way that's not typical of his extremely felicitous Lashon Kodesh. You know, the Rambam reads so easily in the Lashon HaMishnah type of Lashon Kodesh. And here he says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved them and the Chashmonoim saved them. In the same sentence, it's klepsachnish. The person's used to the Lashon HaRambam. It's not as elegant as is typical of the Rambam. And I think because the Rambam was trying to say something in so many words. He was trying to say, yeah, it was the Ribbono Shel Olam. Of course it was the Ribbono Shel Olam. But yeah, it was also the Chashmonaim. Of course it was the Chashmonaim. And this kind of like, he's trying to balance it in such a way by mentioning Hitzilam in the same pasuk. It's a long sentence, and he has to mention both. And both saved Klal Yisrael. So who saved Klal Yisrael? So you could have written that the Chashmonaim were the instrument of Hashem, and through them HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved Klal Yisrael. But he doesn't write it that way. He writes it almost as if they're two independent in Yonim. The Chashmonaim saved Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved Klal Yisrael. So what's the pshat? So it seems to me that to understand this, we have to go now to Purim. Bimei Mordechai VeEsther. So here you have a remarkable thing. Is Haman, and he makes this gzeira. Achashverosh buys into it 100% for all kinds of reasons. And things look very bad right from the outset. And here you have a tremendous crisis. Vayir Shushan Navocha. However, there's still time, there's still hope. Then it gets later and later, and finally it comes to a point where the jig is almost up. It's almost finished. And then comes Mordechai to Esther, and he says to her, Kim hachreish tacharish. What does Esther respond? So Esther says to him, Leich knoses kol ha-yehudim, v'tsumu alai, v'al tochelu v'al tishtu, shloshes yomim lailu v'yom, v'gam ani v'na'arosai otsum kein. Uvechein avo el hamelech hashaloch hados, hashar avadati avadati. This formula, this recipe, is a recipe for total failure. And I'll explain to you, Pashut, why. You have here a person whose koach habahami is very strong, Achashverosh. He's a very big Baal Taiva. He has many wives. And he's always busy finding somebody to play with. And he's not interested in her. And he's so not interested in her. So he didn't suddenly become abstemious. He didn't suddenly become a parush. So he's busy with all kinds of other women. And he has a big harem. So that means she's out of favor. She's not the flavor of the day anymore. So the Gemara itself already tells us, Esther Yirak Rakas Hoysa, Elochut Shechesed Nimshachalel. And the Vilna Gaon says, because Vati Esther no says Chain. Why do you keep talking about Chain? Not just Yofi, but Chain. Because her Yofi came from her Chain. She was charming. She wasn't inherently, objectively beautiful. So she already has a strike against her. So what does she do? What would you have done if you were Esther and you want to charm this person with these animal instincts, that he should stick out his shavit hazov and not put you to death because you invaded when you weren't called? But obviously, when somebody goes in when they're not called, it's a simit that they're up to some scheme and he's not interested. Achas doso lahonis. Levada sheyoshet lechavit hamelech. Okay? So what would you do? Do you know what I would do? I would follow the recipe of the beginning of Megillas Esther. There's tamrukei hanoshim, and there's all kinds of emollients, and all kinds of cosmetics, and there's all kinds of... I would buy a new shetel for the occasion. And not one of those shmatis that the frumis buy, but, you know, goes till here, you know. And I buy a fancy gown, which has the appropriate places where you could, you know, v'chulei v'chulei. So now let's ask the question, what exactly did she do? And the answer is she did literally the opposite. She looked mamish like a shmata. Because anyone that fasts for 3 days in a row, no matter what beauty she has, and Esther Yirak Rakas Oysa. So now she looks total Yirak Rakas. She's not Yirak Rakas, she's Yorok. And now she's coming into the Melech. How are you talking? I mean, there's always an inyan of ishtadlis. Okay, so do your ishtadlis. So not only does she not pretty herself up, not only does she not try to put her best foot forward to approach, but she does the exact opposite. Now, what's the teretz? The teretz is there's only one thing that's called tefillah. It's a remarkable thing. I mean, when you think about it, we're not yoyrid into the oimika inyan until we make that point. I mean, I don't know how many people observe that sumo alai, is a recipe for a disaster. Now what happens is that when she goes in and he looks up and he sees, oh, this is Esther, so immediately he sticks out his scepter and the rest is history. So the whole of the flow of Megillas Esther from then on is triggered by a moment of incredible hasaga of tefillah. However, Eino Dome, if it would be a moment of connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is front row center in your life and in the history of Klal Yisrael. But what do we see from the Gemara that asks the question, Esther min HaTorah minayin? V'anochi haster astir. It's a hastara lifnim min hastara. Haster astir. Esther is a moment where things are looking black and then they become even darker. And there's no hope whatsoever. To daven to Hashem when there's no hope, not to give in to Yiyush, not to say the jig is up. You know, it's a remarkable thing. There's a Gemara at the end. I mean, I don't understand the Gemara, but it's enough that there's such a Gemara. Gemara at the end of Cheskas Habatim, the last lines of Cheskas Habatim. It's a Gemara that speaks about the simonim that we make for Churban Beis Hamikdash, that we leave an Amma al Amma untouched, unpainted, all of those things. So the Gemara says at the end that Be'ikar Hadin, we should not be married and have children, and Zera Yisrael is not kala by the gas chambers, it's kala mimela. You hear? You hear a hasaga? That its golus is too much for us to handle? They anticipated the gas chambers, and they say better that we should just simply not be because we don't have any children. Nimtza Zara Shel Yisrael comes to an end without the pain and without the suffering, without the burning and without the smell of burning flesh. without the gas chambers. Ella? Navas? But it's gzeira she'en atziva yecholim lamabot. That's the reason. And what about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's promise? Like ma'astim le'galtim l'chaloysim ha'fer b'si'itam. There's an incredible amount of yeush in that line. So comes along Esther and she says, there's tremendous yeush. How much yeush? Look at the kapitel now for a moment. Kapitel Chof Beis. L'amatzeyach al ayeles hashacha zu Esther. The first words, keili, keili, loma azavtoni, rochoik mishu osi, divrei shagosi. Listen to the words. I'm crying out to you, divrei shagosi, but it's still rochok mi yeshuasi. Now listen to what she says. Eloikai, ekra yoimam voloisane. I call out to you, yoimam. What is yoimam? Yoimam is, of course, daytime, daily. But yoimam here means a symbol. Yoimam means sinachals gut. There's still hope. The sun is still shining. Proverbial sun is still shining. But veloisane, you don't answer me. So what should be the natural reaction of a person who gives up hope? Rabbanu Shalom, you're not interested in me. Anochi haster aster ponai. So if haster aster ponai, you're not interested in me, so I give up. I give up. The expression, you throw in the towel. It's finished. I got punched around too much. I'm already lying on. It's not shayach anymore. What happened instead? Elokai ekra yoimam veloisane. And now it's Laila. It means it got worse. It's almost finished. Volodu mi'ali, and I don't remain silent. Do you know the kind of strength that you need to cry out to Hashem when you yourself are convinced that HaKadosh Baruch Hu abandoned you, but it's not shayach. It's like the Brisker Rav says about the words in Rav Gaviral, Mimcha Elecha Hashem. I'm running away from you, Hashem. Ona Evroch, Mimcha. So where do I go? Elecha. Mimcha Elecha. There's no place to go. So you go right back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But here they're not running away from Hashem. But they can't find Hashem. It's Hester upon him. It's Hastara Bifnim Hastara. I can't find you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that means my fate is sealed. No, I'm not going to stop davening. I'm going to cry out to you even more. Tsumu alive al tochlu batishtu v'gam aniv v'naros ayotzim kein. The only Eitzah is Tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You compel HaKadosh Baruch Hu to turn his face back to you. And that's what the remarkable thing about this kapitel is something that I noticed. The contrast of kapitel Chof Beis is enormous. If you take the first psukim and then you take the last psukim, it's like two separate kapitlach. Because the last psukim are psukim of triumph. Psukim of triumph. Whereas at the beginning, Keili, Keili, Lama Azavtani. Now you have a very remarkable thing here. The Gemara in Megillah, Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, says, Amar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, Chayav Odom Likrois Es HaMegillah Balaylo V'lishnoisa Vayoyim. First they thought Lishnoisa means to interpret the Torah Shebal Peh, and then they said, no, it just means you recite the Megillah again. You read the Megillah again. In other words, you read the Megillah twice. Where's the makar for that? So he says, "Shenamar Eloikai akra yoimam v'loisane v'layla v'lo dumioli." He quotes this pasuk. What? So it would seem to me that Yeshua ben Levi is telling us exactly this, symbolically, by intoning the Megillah again, we recreate kivayochol through the length of Purim, that we daven to Hashem, and it gets darker, and it becomes harder, and it seems that it's hopeless, and nevertheless we daven to Hashem. And I believe that according to Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, if someone would ask you, which the Gemara later asks, what's the Iker of Megillah? In Maseches Megillah, they ask this question, where does it begin? I believe that the question is this, is the Megillah a Hallel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Or is the Megillah an expression of the human capacity to trust in Hashem? It's a remarkable thing that after Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, there's another Mandiyomar. who brings a different pasuk for the same idea that you say the Megillah twice. Ula Birah, his name is. And Ula Birah says the pasuk is, L'man yizamercha chavod v'lo yidom Hashem elokai li'ola modeka. Except you can't say, you can't read the Megillah 500 times or for the rest of your life. So symbolically, the fact that we read it again is Hashem elokai li'ola modeka. That's the halal. Kriyasa zu'i lula. So the halal of the Megillah, the idea of the halal of Megillah is that I'm praising Hashem for saving us. And you can never stop praising Hashem for saving us. So b'meila, you read the Megillah twice according to Ula Birah. But Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi doesn't bring this pasuk, which is the last pasuk, by the way, interestingly enough, as Mizrach Shechanukas. But rather, what pasuk does he bring? He brings the pasuk from Lamatecha, Layelos HaShachar, Yoyim HaMekra B'Loisana. Why? Because he says the ikar of the Megillah is to understand where we were at that time. And what Esther and Mordechai accomplished, that they refused to allow the evidence before their eyes to blind them to the commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the knowledge that ultimately he will never completely abandon us. You know, a lot of times, just this is not a political statement, I'm just saying, you know, we are Seb and Shivim Zevim, never changed. And, you know, today Shivim Zevim is 100 and whatever number of countries in the United Nations, and whenever you hear these things, and you know, pulling out of UNESCO, not pulling out of UNESCO, the rishus, the unbelievable rishus, and the unbelievable sheker that overwhelms us from every side, it scares the wits out of us. That's the truth. It frightens a person. And a person who's not a maimon, I don't know where he has the guts to prevail, to be honest with you. And many Jews decided, you know, they're not interested. It's not. I don't want to be a Jew anymore. It's too hard. It's too dangerous. After the Churban, and even now, there are plenty of people who say, why should my child be a Jew? Then he's just subject to so much anti-Semitism. And who knows when the next Hitler will come. A lot of people that think that way. It comes a man of Lahashmid L'Aragul Abed, and she says, it's true, I'll look like a Shmata, but it doesn't make any difference because it's all up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu anyhow, and we're going to daven to Hashem. So this moment is preserved, according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, by reading the Megillah twice. And the essence of the Megillah is to show how Klal Yisrael relates to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How they understand that Hester Panim is a mirage, it's a facade, it's not real. That's the remarkable thing. And that, I believe, is why it says, Bimei Mordechai ve'Esther v'Shushan Abira, and not just as a location of time, you know, as a marker to tell us Bayomim Mahim Bizman Hazeh. And the same thing is true about Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis LeDavid. It's these two psukim. Histarta panecho hayisi nifal. Now here there's a different kind of Esther Panim. But as far as I'm concerned, it's perhaps in some ways an even greater form of Esther Panim. Let me tell you what I mean. To go against the rest of Klal Yisrael, to go against a world movement, to go against the wave of the future, not to be blinded by success of Hellenism, which has made such unbelievable inroads. And you have to understand that, you know, every sheker that doesn't have, you know, sheker ein lo raglayim, anything that doesn't have any shemitz of emes is not going to survive. And apparently the Hellenism and the Greek philosophy, Greek science, Greek values, Greek language, there was an element of emes, even for Klal Yisrael. It's expressed also, another Gemara in Maseches Megillah, coincidentally, you can write a Sefer Torah in no other language but Lashon Kodesh, except for
Greek.
Pilei Ployim. You can write a Sefer Torah in Greek, and that's Kedusha Sefer Torah. You can learn from that Sefer. In Alexandria Shel Mitzrayim, they had no knowledge of Hebrew after a number of generations. Philo Judaeus himself probably didn't know Hebrew. And he wrote this incredible work, a pirush, a philosophical pirush on Chumash, in Greek, using only the Septuagint. Pilei Ployim. And there are 7,000, who knows how many words, that are Greek and Latin, in Mishnah and Gemara and Medrash. Bavli and Yerushalmi. It's not your volume. I mean, we don't even realize how many words. Vahi Omein es Hadassah, Rashi says, what's Omein? Pedagogue. And so on and so forth. Thousands of them. So, you see this emes. What do Chazal say? What's the justification for that? That the Torah can be written in Greek?
Yafta
lokim leyefes v'yishkoin ba'ol leshem. A pasuk by Noach, when he was mekalel Knan, or Knan, Eved Avodim, he says, Yafta lokim leyefes. So the Gemara says, how do you know it's Greek? Greek is Yavon. How do you know it's Greek? Maybe it's Goimer, maybe it's Mogoi. They were also Yefes. No, says the Gemara. Yafta lokim leyefes. Yefufusa shal Yefes is ba'ol leshem. The beauty of Yefes. There's only one beauty of Yefes. Goimer Magog is garnished. They're stam barbarians. But Yefes has one Yavan that's beautiful. Who's talking? Chazal are talking. And to what end? That a Sefer Torah should be kosher. Noir for Oyer. They don't mean today's Greek and the halacha, you know, but we're not talking now halacha. We're talking about Havana and what it meant that they were up against. So they were up against something that has a miktsas emes, maybe more than a miktsas emes. And the Rambam Lamais is busy with Aristotle. He's very busy with Aristotle. What's the pshat? And at that time, they didn't know today's science. At that time, their science was the science. And I always point this out. You know, as I've mentioned many times, my Rebbetzin doesn't like when I quote Greek and Latin. It's goyish. But Lamaisa, when I was a little kid, so, you know, when I was studying Latin as a little kid, around the time that I was writing this Chibur on Tehillim. So, you know, we come across this beautiful phrase, this beautiful expression. Graeca capta, captured Greece, the Greece that was conquered by Rome. Ferum victorem capit, captures its fierce conqueror. You know, Greece was conquered, but in effect, they conquered philosophically and socially and language-wise. You know, for a Roman not to be studying the Greek philosophies and the Greek science and the Greek mathematics and the Greek music, he was a barbarian. Could be a Roman, but he's a barbarian. You're not with the program. And this all filtered, this went down. At that time, Rome was in the ascendant. This wasn't the Greek as a force, as Alexander Mokdon. This is ancient history already. We're now talking about a different Kufa. And Rome is conquering the world, but Rome itself was conquered by the philosophies and Hashkafas Olam of Greece. And now you have the gymnasium, and you have the language, and you have the wave of the future, and this is modern world, the modern world of today that we speak about, the modern world. This was their modern world. As modern then for them as our modern world is for us today. And what is Torah? Torah is an alta kvetchta, you know, flips on the old. You know, they had a maisa that in Vilna there was a bunch of, you know, really gebifta apikarsim who wanted to make fun of Yiddishkeit. So what did they do? They made a play. And the play was how it's going to look like, in Mechemes Goyga Magog, Alasid Lavoy. So they had one person dressed up like the Chafetz Chaim, another person dressed up like Reb Chaim Brisker or whatever, and they both have guns in their hands, and it's time for them to shoot. So they said, no, you go first, you're a Kayin, you go first, you're a bigger Talmud Chacham. You know, that was the play. And everybody was, you know, laughing their heads off. So they came to the Brisker Rav and they said, look what they're doing. And he said, no, that's exactly how it's going to be. So there's this Alta Yid with a gun, and he says, no, you go first. So that's going to capture the imagination of people at a wave of the future. So they went with the Zerem. And now you have a bunch of Chashmonoim. How many Chashmonoim? And what are they up against? Aviv talks about the elephants. It's not the elephants, it's the elephant in the room. The whole attitude, the whole Ashkafas Olam was at stake. And who says you're right? Mecha taste that you're right. So what the answer is? There's only one Ribbono Shel Olam, there's only one Torah, there's only one Masorah, and I don't care what I see in front of me. And I don't care how many there are of the others. That takes tremendous gevura. And that's ultimately the reason I believe that we say this mizmor, Shir Chanukah Sabayis. Not just because there was a new Chanukah Sabayis, but simply because there was a moment of Histarta Panecho Hayisi Nifal. Could be in Eretz Yisrael, doesn't... You know that in Eretz Yisrael today, I am not...
I'm neither a Zionist nor an anti-Zionist. I'm just trying to be an Elul Hayid. The point that I'm making is that how could there be Yidden in Eretz Yisrael? Speak Lashon Kodesh, speak Hivrit, what's the difference? Speak Hivrit. They don't know anything. But it's not just that they don't know anything. They're involved in the hashchasa of the world, whatever hashchasa the world has, they have. And sometimes in spades, because they're in the forefront. They're bright, they're smart, they're capable, and they are in the forefront. So you have a Yerushalayim, you also have a Tel Aviv. And Tel Aviv is an interesting place, because there was never any mosque in Tel Aviv, as far as I know, and there was never any church in Tel Aviv when it was established. Which is a remarkable thing. But Tel Aviv is Tel Aviv. Tel Aviv has all kinds of people. They're all cosmopolitan, a lot of them. And they're all belonging to a whole Hashkafas Olam that is no different than the Hashkafas Olam of everyone who is straight completely from Yiddishkeit. Because the liberal Jews that exist in America have their parallel in there. And they're willing to give the whole thing back to the Palestinians, a lot of them. Because they don't believe in Zionism and they don't believe in Eretz Yisrael as our place. They happen to be living there. They were born there, unfortunately. And now the question is, what do we do with it? And these, of course, are the people who make the parades, you know what I'm talking about, and on and on and on. And they're the ones who make these huge protests with tens of thousands of people. It's not like a small minority. There's a big olam. And they don't say Shema Yisrael every morning. So, you have this kind of inroad, even in Eretz Yisrael, with all the Torah that goes on there, with all the Shmiras HaMitzvahs, and all the people who Yireim Ushleim who try to build the land, and Mekayim the Mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, and go into the Shtochim with Mesiras Nefesh. It's a tremendous thing, but it's not the only thing. And there is that culture war going on as we speak. And this is why, in the time of the Chashmonaim, I'm only saying that because you have to, you know, it's hard to imagine something in the ancient past, but you begin to see that it exists even now. Except today they don't kill each other. In those days they killed each other. Even Beis Shem Beis Hillel killed each other. Because when you believe in something enough, it reaches the point where you just can't handle it. And you have to fight. So they fight against the Greeks, they fight against the Misyavnim. But there's a moment of Hest upon him. In Eretz Yisrael, I'm saying there could be a moment of Hest upon him. Today, in Eretz Yisrael, it's still a moment of Hest upon him. But all the Giluyim, and everybody wants Giluyim, everybody wants to see that a recognition of Shalayim, that this and this, everybody wants to see that this, oh, you see, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us. The fact that we're around is probably enough of a raya. The fact that so many B'nai Torah is enough of a raya. The fact that this institution has so many B'nai Torah is an unbelievable thing. There are a lot of rayas that Hashem is with us. The fact is, however, that there are plenty of moments when you and I think Histarta Panecha. It's a little shift of the winds here and there. Every once in a while you hear a little news report about this or about that, and suddenly the earth starts to shake underneath us. Why? Because Histarta Panecha Yisi Nifo. So what's the answer? Elecha Hashem Ekra Vel Hashem Eschana. It's Pilei Ployim. The whole of Chanukah and Purim theme that the Shir Shal Yom has established, has demanded for us to see and to understand, is that we have an unbelievable koyach to be able to demand HaKadosh Baruch Hu to present himself kevayochel, like the Rav used to say, it's a rendezvous with the Shechina, rendezvous with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We can force HaKadosh Baruch Hu to turn back his face. His hester upon him, he hides his face, we say, Ribbono Shel Olam, you will show your face. And that's with the incredible emuna and bitachon of the person who insists there is no yiyush. But this is really the wholeness of Nisod. And that is Shema Hashem. And by the way, if you look at from Pasuk Yud until the end, you see a remarkable chain of psukim. The first Pasuk says, Ma betza bedomi beriditi al shachas. You know what that's saying, basically? Ribbono Shel Olam, you don't have a good bargain. Don't let us go. You don't have anybody better. You don't have anybody better. What's going to be if I fail? What's going to be if I disintegrate? Ma betza bedomi beriti al shachas. Hayoidecha ofer? What about the rest of the world? No. There's nothing to talk about. It's us. So hayoidecha ofer? Hayagid amitecha? Is the ofer going to praise you? Is the ofer going to respond? And then, that's stage number one.
Shema Hashem v'choneini, Hashem heyei ozer li, is already more strength than Elecha Hashem ekrav el Hashem eschama. And then hafachta mispidi l'mocholi, pitachta sakivata azreini simcha. This is incredible confidence that not only is HaKadosh Baruch Hu going to be mevatel l'gzeira, but that it becomes a moment of joy, a moment of hallel. You take off my ashes in sackcloth, but it's not neutral. Vata azreini, and you surround me, you envelop me, ezor musnov, vata azreini, simcha. It's a remarkable thing. It becomes days of joy. You know, the Rambam didn't find a better place. How will you say on Pesach? So, if you have Hilchas Yontif, that's where it should be Hilchas Halal. Hilchas Pesach, Hilchas Chametz Matzah, the Rambam calls it Halal. Hilchas Korban Pesach, Halal. Where does the Rambam have the halachas of Halal?
Chanukah.
Hilchas Megillah, v'Chanukah, in Hilchas Chanukah. So Purim, I understand. Rama says you don't say Halal on Purim because the Kriyas HaMegillah is the Halal. He passes like that, Mandiyama, not Akate Avdei Chashverosh Hanan. But Halal should be Halachas Dafka and Chanukah. Mechateisa. But the Teretz is because they are the days that created for Halal. The Pitach Saki, the Rambam says, Yemei Simcha V'Halal. That is the creation of Chanukah. Yemei Simcha V'Halal. So that's the Pitach Saki V'Ata Azveni Simcha. L'man Yezamelcha Chavad Lo Yidom Hashem Elokai Le'olam Odeka. We are forever, and we're going to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu forever, and this is the legacy of Chanukah and Purim that I believe B'mei Mordechai V'Esther, B'mei Matis Yo, needs to be mentioned because these are not merely the locations in time, but they are actually the shutfim of the Yeshua of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is our contribution? We didn't give up. We didn't say, that's the wave of the future. We didn't say, it's fafal, Haman is going to have his way. A remarkable thing. And I think that if you think about it, I mean, everybody's read some of these stories, that a person should be worried about lighting a Chanukah menorah in Auschwitz is mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling enough that he wants to put on tefillin. But at least that I could understand. But the Pesumei Nisa. We are being decimated. They didn't know that the rest of Klal Yisrael is still alive. As far as they're concerned, there were many who felt that there's not a Jew left on earth. Like the Goyim, used to come back to the shtetl. So what are you doing? You're not supposed to be alive. There's not supposed to be any Jews anymore. What's going on over here? There are so many Jews. Where did all these Jews come from? It's like Schrutzen. You talk about, you know, I called the exterminator, and he took care of it, and I paid him a lot of money. And look, the Maharashkas are back, you know, the ants. They're all crawling back. That's the way the Goyim felt. So they did another pogrom. After Hitler, they did a pogrom. Jews. They didn't know that there were Jews left. And the Yidden didn't know in Auschwitz that there are Jews left. So what are you lighting a menorah? It's this incredible kayach of knowing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us. This incredible confidence that we're forever. And we are taka forever. And we will prevail. We will prevail. I don't know. You know, it says by Mechemes Gog and Magog, Leisi v'loyachmine, let it be, and I don't want to see it. We don't know what's ahead of us, and we don't know what's in store. But comes along Chanukah and Purim every single year, and we say these mizmorim, and we say Ribbono Shel Olam, you won't abandon us, but we want to know something, Ribbono Shel Olam, we're not going to abandon you either. And even when everything seems to go in the opposite direction, we're going to say, Elokai ekra yoimam, but in the loisana. We don't hear the answer right away. So are we going to cry just the same? Are we going to sumu alai b'al tochlu b'al tishlu shloshes yomim? The laila, it's dark now, v'lo dumi ali. Lo dumi ali. I think that is really the essence of these two, each one in its own way, and that's the Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis. The truth of the matter is, if you'll ask the question, till the Chanukah Sabayis. So we sing Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis. Till the Chanukah Sabayis, we say, I will not give up. And keep up that kesher with the Ribbono Shel Olam, so finally there will be a Chanukah Sabayis. Shabbi b'vi'as goel tzedek b'meheira v'yameinu amen.
Amen.